I'm Mary Saunders, and I'm a research analyst contributing to the IoT and private networks programs. And I'm here with Daniel Beezer, who runs the Edge and Media Platforms research program. Today, we are here to discuss Las Vegas, which has become an edge compute hotspot in recent years. We're going to discuss what is going on there, what is special, and if there are any lessons we or operators can take away. So, Daniel, what exactly is going on?
Well, I mean, I think Las Vegas is known for a lot of things, but I wouldn't think edge computing is the first thing that springs to mind. Have you ever been there?
No, I've not.
Well, it's quite the place. And it's not exactly known as a technology hotspot. But I mean, I think there's at least six really quite advanced edge computing projects going on there. And that's probably as many as I can think of anywhere, certainly in the West. I think if you go out to China, Singapore, South Korea, then you can really see there are a lot of very advanced projects there. But certainly here in the West, it's pretty remarkable. And it does sometimes seem that just about an awful lot of operators rather are involved. Cox Communications got a private network there, and they're running a public safety project in downtown. NTT Data have got a traffic management project there, which is using edge compute running from the Las Vegas city data center on a sort of local instance of Microsoft Azure. And of course, you've got the kind of testbed aspect of the place. It's being used by Vapor.io, who are a very interesting company, a kind of an industrial edge pioneer, who are pushing the idea of really quite dense infrastructure at the edge. And they built what they call an in zones, which is three data center nodes in downtown Las Vegas, which will kind of map it onto each other in a sort of like a cell structure. And they're actually headquartered in Austin, Texas, but they're doing their testbed in Vegas. And similarly, Dish Networks, obviously a pioneer of the cloud native network, and who see their cloud native network very much as network running as the first instance of what's going to be a distributed edge platform, which is going to enable them to sell edge services to enterprise. In fact, they've already started selling edge services to enterprise. They sell telemetry services over their network. They use Vegas as a test bed, and that's just on the network side. I mean, if you move up the stack, you can see there are Vapor.io and has got the Kinetic Grid and got together a group of vendors that's kind of sticking together a stack. And they're about to, I think any day they're going to announce, give some real detail around this product they call, which is called Pervasive AI, which is going to really be machine learning and AI as a service. You provide on a usage-based model. And we're going to hear more details about that shortly. And they're also, Vapor.io is also looking to provide services in areas that, you know, slightly surprising, healthcare, which is actually, when I say slightly surprising, I mean, to me, it's slightly surprising. In fact, I think to anyone who thinks about edge, you think, well, healthcare has got to be a very, very obvious use for edge compute, but it's really remarkable that how little adoption there is in healthcare, which is why it's surprising to me, probably not so surprising to anyone else. But Vapor.io is targeting the healthcare markets in Las Vegas. Now, there's a very interesting healthcare market in Las Vegas. Apparently, it's a big destination for medical tourism, because if you're having your hernia sorted out or some sort of elective surgery, or I don't know, you're having your teeth or nose job or whatever it is, it's a very, very popular idea when you're recovering from this to actually go somewhere where you can actually amuse yourself or be amused, if that's what you can call being sung to by Celine Dion or whoever it is, in Vegas. So it's a very popular spot, and there's a big medical, quote unquote, industry around there. Industry as an industrial edge. And what Vapor.io want to do, say that the big problem is the radiographers in the city have to work across lots of different hospitals, but they have to take these huge files. I mean, an MRI scan file, just a simple black and white one is 30 gig. And so moving these from A to B is extremely difficult and done with disks, it's insecure, et cetera, et cetera. So the idea is to target that at the healthcare industry and use the in zones, this mesh of small data nodes to store and process this data locally. It's a fascinating idea. So, I mean, moving even further out from that, you've got things like the loop, the Hyperloop, which is this tunneling system under the city. You've got Amazon's autonomous vehicle division, which is called Zoox, It uses Vegas as a testbed, and robotics is quite well established there. They have robots mixing drinks, I believe, for people in the hotel. So you've got quite a range from the physical layer all the way up to the application layer of different kind of edge computes. It's really quite remarkable.
So why is Vegas being used as a testbed by these companies? I understand the healthcare example, but for Amazon and things, why would Las Vegas be such a good location for this?
Well, I think it's very difficult to point to one single thing and say this is why it's happened. I think that if you look at the areas where edge compute is kind of emerging, it typically tends to be areas where industries that have a usage for edge computing cluster. Industries do tend to cluster. So if you look at a city like Singapore, which has got a very advanced, comparable to Vegas, I would say, it's got a sort of comparable level of maturity around edge, that supports city. I mean, Singapore historically, and even since even to this day, owns its wealth to the fact that it sits on the straits. The straits is where sort of an enormous percentage, it's a bit like the Suez Canal, it's a bit like sitting on the Suez Canal, it's an enormous money earner. But that means there's a huge focus on logistics and shipping. And those are very, very early, and logistics is an area that's a big early adopter of edge compute. Similarly with Barcelona, that's another city, which is probably less than Singapore and Vegas, but it's certainly a bit of a small hotspot, a European one. There's a lot of manufacturing there. It's also a port city. And those tend to be areas where people adopt edge computing. In the case of Vegas, there's a huge sort of hospitality and retail focus. That I think is part of it. Also, it's always been a sort of crazy place that's slightly very a risky place, a place that likes taking risks, a place where throw out hotels, knock them down very, very quickly. People take risks. The future, people are kind of interested in the future there. I think it's very useful for them that they're, if you think of the geography of it, it's close to California. But California of late has become extremely expensive and really quite regulated. If you look at industries like autonomous vehicles, if you've got a sort of very, very business-friendly, slightly freewheeling environment, then that probably makes it easier for you to do tests on things like autonomous vehicle rather than somewhere like California that's probably going to be very, very highly regulated. So I think that explains quite a lot of the interest in the autonomous vehicle. And lastly, I mean, I think this is really important, having said how the freewheeling atmosphere is also very important. Also, that kind of goes hand in glove with the fact that the city itself is extremely supportive of edge computing, has opened up CBRS, and they have a chief innovation CTO officer there, Mike Sherwood, who's very, very vocal within the edge community. And he's a big believer. In fact, he has a very interesting, possibly the most interesting thing actually emerged from Vegas is his vision of the edge. Is that he says he's changed his mind about the density of infrastructure that's going to need supported. Previously, I think originally rather, he thought that maybe just a couple of regional nodes would be necessary. So if you take a country like France, you'd be talking 5 or 6 data centers. And now he says he's changed his mind. And he thinks that we're going to need, probably in a city like Vegas, you'd need 25 to 30 nodes. And that they would effectively operate like a mesh, very much like a cell system. So the important thing like that, and this is something that Cole Crawford over Vapor.io points out, is that you can basically operate them all or run across all of them as a virtual data center, which means that you can operate a very, very high, support a very, very high SLA, the kind of SLA that, say, emergency services, blue light services, and other enterprises and organizations that need, you know, very, very, that run critical infrastructure, it's what they can use. So you could, this will give you extremely high level of functionality. But the support of the city, I think, has been really quite critical. And you can see that with the autonomous vehicle project that's going on there with Zoox, and they're running robo-taxis. It's only a test at the moment. But what the city has done is the city's opened up its traffic management system to Zoox. And this is a project they're doing in partnership with VMware. And they are letting Zoox get hold of the red and green traffic light data flow, which I imagine is pretty important if you're a robo-taxi. It's impossible to work if you didn't have that data. But obviously, if the city's attitude is that they don't want to open up their critical infrastructure to third parties, then that's going to make it extremely difficult. So their open approach has got a lot to do with it. And it's also pretty remarkable that in this innovation office, there's only 3 of them, and they make an awful lot of noise. So that's another feature, that the publicity they get is really quite impressive. They make sure everyone's aware that they're very open to people coming and trying things out.
So given that Vegas is such a unique location, do you think it is replicable elsewhere? Like you mentioned Singapore and Barcelona to a lesser degree. Do you think that more hotspots will emerge, or do you think the use cases will kind of dissipate out into kind of wider society? What do you think is going to happen there?
Well, I think what we're seeing initially with edge compute is there's been a kind of a pivot, I think, 4 or 5 years ago when it first emerged. It was also very exciting. Everyone thought, well, you know, we're going to see autonomous vehicles driving around everywhere. No one's going to need to, for example, I didn't think my children would need to learn how to drive. But in fact, they do. They are going to have to learn. They are. I mean, my son's already, he can already drive an ATV. And I also thought, we thought those were going to be the great applications that were going to drive edge computing. But they haven't gone away. I mean, people, they're definitely happening, but they're bubbling away slowly, much slower than perhaps seemed likely. And the near-time use cases we're seeing emergently are in much more sort of prosaic but more realistic areas like retail, like hospitality, like manufacturing, like logistics. And those areas, and the reason why edge computing is important in those areas is because it's simply far too expensive and impractical to do that processing actually in the public cloud. Or there's a third use case where there's regulatory problems, but that's a really small one. Generally, mostly it's because it's far too expensive and impractical to actually ship all these vast quantities of data that we're now seeing generated at the edge by AI, by video inferencing, by fault detection, all those kind of use cases actually in the cloud. So those kind of, this is all a very roundabout way of saying that those kind of use cases tend to be pretty geographically based, not retail so much, because of course you know, if you're Lidl, whatever, who are big pioneers of edge compute, then every single town in Europe and maybe in America, I don't know, has got a Lidl. But manufacturing, logistics and things like that are very geographically based. So, yes, I think you will see emerging clusters of compute. I think you'll see in port city and manufacturing hubs. I think you'll see actually industrial edges that are shared because, you know, if you think that, say, a big manufacturer like a Daimler-Benz doesn't just operate on its own, they have a massive supply chain, and those companies are going to want to be very close, and they're going to want to have their software and their applications extremely close to those that Daimler-Benz are running. So it makes a lot of sense to pull that and have that on a shared resource that you can scale up and down. It's much more economic, it's much more effective, and probably you can build much better security around it, kind of like a mini public cloud really. So that's something I would see emerging. But in terms of the replicability of Vegas, I think there are some things about Vegas that's very unique. I mean, they're just to take one particular example, the place is a really, really big conference hub. It's not so well known as it's, you know, the big fights and the cinematronic Celine Dion stuff and the Sphere and all those kind of things they have. But it's a big place for conferences because the holes in the quiet seasons, the hotels let that room. So they just approach companies. And of course, it's cheap for everyone in the States to fly there. So it's a big conference hub. And there are lots of big shows there in our industry. There's MWC Las Vegas happens, CS, there's a lot of them happen because it's just sort of this huge capacity for hosting people. So of course, you know, that can be sort of turned on heads if you've got a sort of an autonomous driving startup or a drone startup, you know, and good to have test bed, and you can take people from Caesars, come and see your test bed. You're there already. Similarly, hospitality, retail, as I was saying, you know, is a big early adopter of edge compute, and you kind of see that in Vegas. Gaming is also a big area for edge compute, and probably gambling as well, but more on the regulatory side. So for all those reasons, yes, I think there are quite a few features of Las Vegas that probably aren't unique to it, but those are the features that are kind of determined by its geography and its economy. And I think what will dictate edge compute appearing in other hotspots is their geography and economy. So, you know, if you're a port, if you're a manufacturing hub, if you're a big entertainment hotspot, I'm trying to think of somewhere else that's like a mini Vegas and struggling to think of anywhere else. Thank goodness that's like that. But probably if you are one of those, then yes, you're likely to become an edge compute.
So what lessons can operators learn from what's going on in Vegas?
Well, I think a really big lesson to learn is that Vegas is Vegas is very attractive for developers. not just for edge computing, but also for edge computing use cases. So it's not just that you can work on distributed microservice applications, which might be coming sometime in the future, but also that there's a lot of activity around robotics, a lot of activity around autonomous vehicles, and these kind of future applications are really what attracts developers. Also, I believe, as I was saying, it's relatively near California. It's a really reasonably inexpensive place to live, whereas San Francisco, the Bay Area, I believe, has got extremely expensive. So, as I was saying, they have an innovation office that's made it very, very clear they're extremely open and willing. People come there. Now, I mean, I've seen this time and time and time again in the area that I work in, and I've just been looking at the content developer industry, and it's really interesting to see who's been successful in the content delivery network industry over the last 10, 15 years. And it's basically Cloudflare and Fastly. And what those two companies did is they developed a developer community with millions of people in them on a freemium model. And that's really what's driven their success. And that's what's driving the success. And I think operators really, really need to understand that actually getting those developers on board and with them is really, really critical to if you're interested in driving and selling these kind of current and future edge services to enterprise and consumers, which in my view they should be, because they're actually in an extremely good position, both from the point of view of the experience they have in running very large, wide distributed operations and networks, and also from the fact that they're kind of there already. They don't need to build out extensively, and they really understand this stuff. So those would be the main lessons I'll take. But probably the last lesson I'll take is just a simple one on the power of persistent marketing. You know, there's only a handful of people in the City of Vegas office, and they've just managed to bang all sorts of heads together, get lots of vendors, lots of data center providers, lots of operators, lots of startups all together. So it's possible to do it, I think. You just really want to do it. That's I think the issue is the will more than anything else.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, Daniel. It's been great for you to talk us through what's going on in Vegas and kind of its wider implications. We'll have a link to Daniel's article, which has some more in-depth detail, in the show notes. And Daniel is also coming out with an edge deployment tracker soon, looking at the edge use cases that he's kind of run through, as well as some other similar use cases around the world. Would you say that's a fair synopsis?
Yes, that's absolutely it. We've been doing a lot of work in the cloud team trying to work out a sensible taxonomy for the private industrial edge, the far edge, that's sort of smart cities, manufacturing, retail, logistics, all this kind of area. It's extremely difficult to and there's a lot of confusion around what is where and what's relevant. And we've come up with a taxonomy in some order that we think really works, and it's going to enable us to track the market and form the basis of a forecast that actually will come out, I think, in June.
Great. Thank you for listening.